Hebrews chapter number 11 this morning. Book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Of course, we know the Hebrews 11. You've heard me refer to it many times as the faith chapter, or maybe the hall of faith chapter, is what I prefer to call it. But here we find a detailed account of what faith is. If you want to know what faith is, what true biblical faith is, study this chapter. First, it defines for us what this faith is in verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when it says substance there, it's a ground or basis. We're thinking about the basis of things hoped for. We don't see what God has in store for us with our physical eyes, but we see through faith in the Scriptures. We know that we have been told in the Scriptures what we have, and it's the substance, the ground or basis, is our faith. And it's this word is also translated as confidence in other places. But it's the substance of things hoped for. And that hope is things that are expected. We have some expectation as a children of God. And because God will not lie. God is true. He does not lie. And the things that He has promised us in His Word, we can count on. And it's not just I hope this is going to happen. I know God said it, and I hope it's going to happen. No, it's a sure expectation. It's going to happen because God said it. And so it's things expected is what that word hope, the word hope for, is talking about. So this faith is not only the substance of things hoped for, but it says there in the latter part that this faith is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is a proof or conviction that comes. And of course we know that we can trust God's word. Because the things that He has promised to those before us, He truly fulfilled in full His Word. And we know that God's Word is as good as gold, better than gold. Amen. This faith is also expressed in verse number 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, we know that this faith is believing that God is. And truly, the psalmist has it right in Psalm 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And again, in Psalm 53 and verse number 1, it reiterated, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And when you think about the founding of our nation, it was based upon, when you take a look at that Declaration of Independence that we celebrated the signing of this past Thursday, it begins with assuming that God is. Talks about our Creator in there. And for our nation to have moved so far away from God, and so many to be denying God, it's really sad for us to see. But make no mistake, faith is believing that God is. And this faith is believing that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God has told us that there are rewards. If we will live for Him, if we will serve Him, if we will obey Him, that there are things that we can look forward to. So not only does it define for us what this faith is, but we see second, this chapter describes for us what this faith did for those who had it in verse number 2 and verse number 39. Verse number 2 says, for by it the elders, and that it is the faith, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And then in verse number 39, it says, these all having obtained a good report through faith. How did they please God with their life? The only way anybody can please God, and that's by faith. And we read that up in verse 6. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So the patriarchs, all those that are listed here in this chapter who lived their lives by faith and did things by faith, they were able to please God, but they were only able to please God by believing God, and that belief brought forth acts. And that brings us to the third thing. This chapter delineates the various acts of this faith, verses 4 through 11. I'm not going to take time to read verses 4 through 11, but you'll see the word, and you ought to underline it every time you see it there, by faith. By faith, they did things. By faith, Abel offered unto God, and then verse 4. By faith, Enoch was translated in verse 5. By faith, Noah in verse 7. By faith, Abraham in verse 8. By faith, again, and he sojourned there in verse number 9. And through faith, also Sarah there in verse 11. All we see is faith, faith, faith. It declares acts of faith that these folks who had faith showed in their life. These folks had actions that showed their faith. And we know that James chapter number 2 and verse number 20 says, "But wilt thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead?" Faith is not words. Faith is an action. If you truly believe something, it will move you to do something a certain way. Okay? You can say, "I believe God," but then you live as if God's dead. You don't really believe God. You know? Don't say that you believe God when you don't. And then the fourth thing is it declares, this chapter declares, the earthly end to these who had this faith. And this is where I really want to deal with this morning. And that is this: these all died in faith. Verse number 13. We'll go ahead and read that and read our text here. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. So it declares the earthly end. These folks died in faith. These heroes of the faith all died in faith. These heroes of the faith died while clinging to hope, clinging to a sure expectation of something that God had promised them. And so let's understand a few things about death before we move forward, because he said these all died, they died in faith. So what about death? Well, we know that the Bible shows that death is a reality. Amen. Each of us will have to face it one day. There's no escape from it. It's a divine appointment. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And you know, some folks may argue and say, "Well, Pastor, what about those that are in the rapture?" Well, understand that even the rapture is death in the sense that it is an event that separates you from this life. Okay, and not only that, is you're going to be separated from life as you know it. Okay. You're going to be changed. We'll take a look. In fact, go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Understand, rapture is death in the sense that it separates. Death means separation. When someone in your family dies, you are separated from them. I've had my mom and dad pass, my both sets of grandparents, I had my brother pass, and it was a time of separation. So they separated from this life to go on to the next life, and they're separated from us. And so that, think of death as being a separation. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 52. And this is speaking of the rapture, what we know as the rapture, the catching away. And it says in verse number 51 there, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." He's talking about dying as believers. "But we shall all be changed." Okay, and that change that takes place, he speaks of in verse 52. "In a moment, and the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Those in the grave can be raised incorruptible, but notice this, "and we shall be changed." How are we going to be changed? Well, look at verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." How's that going to take place? God makes the change in your life. Amen. Your life as you knew it, it's no more. Okay? And this mortal must put on immortality. No longer will you be in this frail flesh, but you'll be separated from this flesh, and it will be changed into and fashioned into a body just like the Lord. Verse 54, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This body of flesh, which is a body of death, even Paul called it a body of death, it will be changed, and it will no longer be a body of death. It will be a body of life, a body of eternal life. It'll be different than it is now. So we must be separated from this corruption and this mortality. So the Bible shows that death is a reality for both the believer and the unbeliever. The Bible shows that death is a timed event. Listen to Ecclesiastes 3:2. It says, "There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted." Listen, there will come a time when we each will die. We'll be separated from this life as we know it. The Bible is not only shows it to be a reality and a timed event, but the Bible shows that death is a physical event. It's a physical event. Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 7, puts it this way. "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So listen, death is the one event that happens to us all, both to those who are believers and those who are unbelievers. And we will all face a day of death, the day of separating from this life as we know it and facing our destiny that is beyond the grave. Now, the question is, so how will you die? You know, we'd like to know that, wouldn't we? Yeah. I mean, I had no idea when I went to St. Vincent's Hospital and had that procedure over a week and a half now before I was able to go in the hospital and they were able to fix a blockage that very well could have took me out. It's only by God's grace that I'm here today. And through prayer, the doctor stuck with it. He didn't back out and determined to do a bypass surgery there, but he did what he could to get in there and get the stent placed. And I praise the Lord for that. I don't have any heart damage. I praise the Lord for that. But listen, it very well could have taken me out, and I knew that. And Even laying there in the stupor that they put you in, you know, you're not really with it. You're in a twilight. You kind of hear things going on around you. I realize that any one of those breaths could have been my last. But I was okay with that because I know where I'm headed. Amen. Death does not scare me. And I've told doctors that. Death does not scare me. It's not something I'm afraid of. And when my time goes, I know where I'm headed. And that's the reason for that. But how will you die? And I'm not asking about the manner of your death, for none of us knows how death may come our way when it comes. When I say, how will you die, I'm asking, are you going to die in faith, or are you going to die in unbelief? Die in faith or die in unbelief? The Bible shows that some folks die without ever having appropriated saving faith in Christ. Now, that's on them. It's not on the Lord. Because Jesus Christ died to save sinners. Which sinners? All sinners. His blood is sufficient to save anyone that will come by faith and place their faith and trust in Him and Him alone. He's able to save to the uttermost. I've heard a preacher say, from the guttermost to the uttermost. You know, He's able to do that. I believe that. And listen, it's sad that folks die without Christ in their life. But it's on them. It's not on God. God made the provision for them. Such a person dies without help. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8 says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Dr. Harold Seitler, a great preacher of the past, often said that God's people die well. And you know, I agree with that statement. Being a pastor, you're called many times. I can't tell you how many times, too many times to even count, that I have watched both saved and lost breathe their last breath. But I can tell you this, the difference is visible. The difference is visible. Such a person that dies without Christ dies without any help. They also die without hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says about us as believers, he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Talking about those that have died in Christ. He says that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, when my grandparents passed away, and when my mom and dad passed away, and even when my brother passed away, there was sorrow. But it was a sorrow unlike a lot of the sorrow that I'm witness to. And mine was a sorrow of, you know, I'm sad that they're not here anymore, that I can't see them, but I know I was going to see them again one day. I have a hope. I have a sure expectation. But listen to what Proverbs 11, verse 7 says. It says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. If you ever have the opportunity to talk to some people about death, what do you think happens to a person when they die? Well, you get a wide range of answers. Some people think that you're reincarnated as something else, or you come back in a different form. You know, if you believe that in reincarnation, let me tell you, your expectation will perish. It will perish. Some folks think that, you know, when we get to beyond this life, that God's just going to have a great big heart, and that He's going to just welcome everybody in. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. Okay, if you don't know Jesus, you won't make heaven. Plain and simple. If you don't have Jesus in your life, if you don't have that, it don't matter what your expectation is in death. If it's anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ and you having that, your expectation of what you're going to face is going to perish. The expectation of the wicked shall perish, Proverbs 10:28 says. Job 8, verse 13 and 14 says, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and those and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Listen, you know, hell is a truth that's realized too late for those who remain lost. There's a lot of folks that don't believe it, that in such a thing as hell. I tell you, they're going to be made believers one day, because they will wake up as the rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, which is a true story, by the way. It's not a parable. The parables don't have people's names in them. But this had the rich man and Lazarus, and also had talked about Abraham's bosom. I'm not going to get into what that is, but anyway, we know that hell was a truth that the rich man realized too late. It was too late for him, and he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to preach to his boys so they wouldn't come to that place. And of course, he did not do that, because we have the Word of God. God's given us the Word. And I have been to and conducted the funerals of both believers and unbelievers. My very first funeral, as a young whippersnapper in Jasper, Florida, pastoring my first church, it was early on in there, and the only person in that family, I think, that knew God was a lady that she was a sister-in-law of the one that died. And she came to my church, and they asked me to do the funeral. Well, I just preached Jesus. That's all I knew to do. Amen. You can't help the dead. All you can do is help the living. All you can do is help the living. When you conducting a funeral for someone who's known to be a believer, there is a greater sense of God and what's going to come after this life, knowing that they'll see their loved one again if they're saved. But for unbelievers, that's it. That's it. You know, they sorrow because their loved one has gone away, and it's a sad thing to behold. But understand that a person without Christ dies without help. They die without hope. But the Bible shows that some folks die after having appropriated saving faith in Christ. And I hope that you're in that group. That when your time comes to leave this life, that you will have the saving faith of Christ there. Because the folks that die with Christ in their life die with a great source of help. Psalm 23, verse 4, the psalmist put it this way, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These folks with Christ in their life, they die with a great source of hope also. I like the way that Paul expresses it in Philippians 1, verse 21 through 23. He was talking about his life in Christ. And he says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two. Listen to what he says. Having a desire to depart. Amen. Do you long for heaven? I long for heaven. Now, have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's far better than anything this life can give to you. Proverbs 10, verse 28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. That's our hope. The expectation of the wicked perishes, but ours is gladness. Now, as we look at our verses, that's my introduction. I assure you that the message is short. We're going to look at verses 13 through 16 that we read here in Hebrews 11. We see, and it talks about these heroes of the faith, these folks who died in faith. These all died in faith is the first thing that says there in verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, the verse says that they did not receive the promises. A lot of people don't really understand what some of this stuff is talking about. Listen, a lot of things come after death and not before. Some of the things that the Lord has promised us, we get while we're here. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Some of those, we have the Holy Spirit living inside. That's a wonderful thing that's been given to us. We have a lot of things that we have been given, but there are some things that we're not going to have until after we leave here. A lot of things come after death, not before. And God's people, understand, do not always get what they want and when they want it. I mean, sometimes we pray for things. Rather than praying for God's will, we'll pray kind of selfishly. Well, Lord, my loved one is sick, and I want you to heal them of that, and God doesn't do it, and they get mad at God. That's what I'm talking about. Too many professing believers, when they do not get what they want, when they want, they turn away and quit. They'll quit on God. Turn their back. So, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, He did. He did. Not the way you wanted it, but He answered it. And they'll quit on God, and that's sad. I don't know about you, but I still want to love and serve the Lord as long as I live, regardless of what comes. And I know that's a strong statement because I do not know, like you, I do not know what lies ahead. None of us knows what the next hour is going to be like in our life. We just don't. But listen, that's my honest desire. I want to, as long as I'm here, I want to serve, love and serve the Lord no matter what comes. Not only did these all die in faith, but we see these all saw the fruition of the promises afar off and were persuaded of them. It says, having, there verse 13, the second part of verse 13, having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Now, listen, we're not going to see all that God has promised us come to fruition in our lifetime on this earth. But if we believe God, we can see them afar off and be persuaded of them, and we can embrace them. Hey, I know what I got to look forward to, and I'm embracing that. I know what God's going to do for me. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 2, and verse number 9. And familiar passage here, and he's quoting from Isaiah 64, verse number 4. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now don't stop reading, okay? Because a lot of folks stop reading and say, well, we can't see any of what God's got for us. Well, we can. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us, talking about believers, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know, look at that, we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the unbeliever thinks, well, all that hope that you're talking about, you just got pipe dreams is what you got. Oh, no. I got sure expectation. I know what God's promised me, and you're not going to convince me anything different. Listen, we're not going to see it all right now, all that God's promised, but we can see them afar off and be persuaded of them, and we can embrace them. A third thing we see here, these all knew that this world was not their home. The latter part of verse 13 and then verse 14 says, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How many of you feel like a stranger and a pilgrim here? You know, you say, I don't fit in. And we ought not to fit in as believers with the world. And he says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Listen, I love the life that God's given me, and I love living the life that God has given me. But there is part of me that is looking forward to and even longing for eternity. I want the Lord to come back. Yes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We say that a lot here, and on Sunday evenings we close out with some golden daybreak. Jesus will come. Why? Because it's a sure expectation He is going to come one day. Listen, if you're a believer, you ought to be looking forward to it. And you ought to be not only looking forward to it, but you ought to have a longing for eternity, be living with the Lord. At that time, Satan, sin, and the curse is all going to be a thing of the past. I love Revelation 21:4. It talks about how God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Boy, I praise God for that. Amen. For the former things are passed away. That time, when we're talking about that time when there will be a new heaven, a new earth, and paradise will be restored in the new Jerusalem. We'll have a new body to live in and a wonderful place prepared by Jesus for us. What a blessing. These all knew that this world was not their home. They knew they had a home on the other side. They were seeking that country. These all made the choice to follow the Lord and His ways instead of the world and its ways. Look at verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. So we're looking for a heavenly country. In these days of so many folks falling away and turning back, I thank the Lord that in these last days there are still those who have chosen to stay the course that they began when they gave their hearts to Christ by trusting in Him. And they're not looking back. I don't know about your experience. I can look back on the day that I was saved, that evening, that night, my salvation was a changing point of my life. And listen, I'm in it for the long haul. Okay, it wasn't just a one-day deal. Okay, well, I'm on my way to heaven, that's it. No. Live for Christ. The Lord has so much more for us than just to carry us home to heaven. And then last of all, we see these all glorified God with their lives and in their deaths. Look at the last part of verse 16. It says, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Listen, if you truly place your faith and trust in the Lord and are thereby walking in faith, then you are in God's hall of faith as well. Okay, you're in the hall of faith. And by faith, be like those that we read about here in Hebrews 11, who set their affections on the things of the Lord, not on the things on the earth. That's where their affection were at. Listen to Colossians 3. This is the way Paul says we all live. He says in Colossians 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I, for one, am looking forward to it. I may not understand everything here, and I may not get all that I desire in this life, but listen, it will still be worth it all when we see Jesus. I love that song too. When Christ left his disciples in John 14, verse 2 or 3, it was in the night that he was going to be arrested. He told them, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Living by faith and dying in faith. That's the way it ought to be for the believer. Amen. I love that song that we sang a while ago, "Living by Faith and Jesus Above." That's the way it ought to be for a believer. Living by faith. And then when your time comes to go, dying in faith. Having been prepared for the life that is to come. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these heroes.